Just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Literally an institution in this town of digging up old photos, old stories, collections, everything you can imagine under the sun about this great city.
Greasy spoons, dives, old clubs.
If you love this city, you're going to love it even more.
Real people, real stories, real places.
This is the Austin Found Podcast.
Welcome back to the show. We appreciate you tuning in. I'm JB Hager.
And I'm Michael Barnes.
And this is Austin Found. And it's so funny when you think about how new this city is. Like everything's just brand spanking new almost, except for the state capitol building, right? You know, what was old, we've already torn down, and new stuff's going up. So you don't think about castles when you think of Austin. And the fact that anything resembles a castle
right here,
as young as this city is odd. Now, there are several around town.
That's right.
There's one downtown.
That's right. It's fun to think in your head where the ones are in other neighborhoods. Like, for instance, in Hyde Park, it's the Elizabeth Ney Museum,
which we've talked about on a previous episode,
Studio of the sculptor. The one in Old West Austin is the military tower there, where the old military institute was, Castle Hill.
On Castle Hill, where we all,
right?
Yeah, that's you could see that from Lamar,
right
up on the hilltop.
You just glance to the west, and you can't miss it.
And then there's one in Pemberton.
There is one in Pemberton, which was the original real estate office back in the 1920s for the neighborhood, and then for a while it housed the waterworks for the neighborhood.
Really?
And then it was much later purchased by filmmaker Rodriguez, and his family lived there.
I didn't know that.
They may still live there, I don't know.
Ah, interesting. Gotta live in a castle.
It's got a lot of character.
Yeah, it does. But the downtown one, is it the oldest of those? It has to be, right?
Yeah, in terms of the original structure was 1874. It wasn't castle-like then. The castle-like, the first family that owned it, North, built it above Little Shoal Creek, and you know where that went.
Mm-hmm. Underground.
Underground, because they just kept building over it.
Again, I learned something on every episode of Austin Found. Having grown up here, everyone knows Shoal Creek. I didn't know there was a Little Shoal Creek, and it's underground now.
And it goes all the way from West Campus, down through all those neighborhoods, and comes out right near Seaholm. But since they kept building bridges and then roads and then everything on top of it, it's completely underground now.
Wow.
But then the second family, the Evans family, they're the ones who hired an architect to make it into this grand Victorian castle-like building that's there.
It's like basically, it was a wood structure, and then they come in and just start building stone.
Which is very common, it turns out. I didn't know that. But a lot of the later mansions, they kept the cabin inside the whole thing, you know. But yeah, Evans is a very interesting character.
That explains a lot, because when I pulled up images of the inside of the castle, Chateau Bellevue, which we haven't even said yet, it has a warmth to it.
Yeah.
And it doesn't look like, it's not stone walls.
No,
it's not
no.
You know what I mean? It doesn't look like the inside of a castle like you would think.
It's very dark, like Victorian homes were, and it has a lot of beautiful glass in it. And it's been restored, and they've been able to trace where it came from. We should tell them where it is.
Right. I know. Yeah, good point.
And so if you're going west from Congress Avenue on 9th Street, you pass by the old John Henry Falk Central Library. Just as you're about to go down a steep slope, look to your left.
Okay.
Now, you can't tell from that side how big it is, But if you're going up Nueces, north on Nueces, and you hit 8th Street, look to your right, and it looks like it's like 5-6 stories tall because it's up on a cliff.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where Bellevue is.
Okay. This guy Evans, who decided to make it from a wooden structure
right.
to a castle. Why? What was this guy's story?
Well, he's very interesting. He was a Union Civil War veteran and a Medal of Honor winner. And he came to town. He was just must have been a fantastic businessman. He co-founded the American National Bank. He was a director for the International and Great Northern Railroad, which was our main railroad, which became MOPAC. So that train that goes along MOPAC, mm-hmm. our main north-south train, that was the great International Great Northern Railroad. And he helped establish what became Houston-Tillotson University in East Austin. And there's a building named after him there. He was very much a benefactor and a very interesting guy. Anyway, he was the one who commissioned San Antonio architect Alfred Giles to build this castle.
And because of Evans, there's a walk-in safe in the structure.
That's right, because he was a banker, and I've been in it.
Hmm.
There's a huge safe in the basement, in one of the basements, that seems real incongruous when you open the door and go, whoa!
Hmm.
But I found another house, the Wilmot house, that had a safe in the basement. So it must have been the thing.
If you were back, I mean, was he keeping the public's money in his home? Now, that's a great setting for a film, isn't it?
It is.
A heist in someone, the banker's home.
That's right.
I don't know. It's very, very interesting. And rumors of ghosts. I'm going to tie this all together where what it's being used for now since the 20s.
Right.
But it's very, very interesting. But rumors of ghosts in the place, too.
You got an old building, it has character, people hear ghosts and see ghosts.
You've seen 100 of these stories your career here.
And right? I'm not knocking them because I've told you one of them on your radio show mm-hmm. about when I was living in an old building and there was the girl crying on the stairs. Mm-hmm. And I'm not a big believer in these things, but I had an experience like that.
Yeah. Now, there's a unique history of how the building has been used. And I'll say you can rent it for an event.
Right now.
A lot of weddings happen there. It seems like a very unique setting in downtown Austin. But going back to the 20s and still to this day, women have used it to network.
Right. It became in the 1920s Austin Woman's Club, not Women's Club, Woman's Club. And it had some really heavy hitters, and they still own and run the place, Austin Woman's Club.
Okay.
And some of the heavy hitters early on, the names are going to be familiar, the last names, because they're all kinds of things.
They're all over town,
yeah.
right?
Like Mrs. Z.T. Scott, well, she's Zachary Scott's mother, who, and that's the namesake for Zach Theater.
Mm.
The Cassises, the Knolls, the Moody's, the Pennebackers, the Longs, all these...
Wow.
Power women. And there's a marvelous book that they still keep that has all their pictures and their writing in it. And I thought that was the most interesting thing in the building.
And I can't help but think this because I'm it's going to come up next where the condition of the building of it needing support. When you think about modern Austin, and there are some very powerful women here, entrepreneurs, this new Austin. I won't even mention names because I don't. It's not like I'm calling them out to do this, but there are a lot of movers and shakers and self-made multimillionaires and even billionaires. It would be amazing if to honor the history of the women that came before him, if they, you know, re-engage this networking group and because the building itself could use some support, right?
Well, absolutely. I mean, it's well over 100 years old, and it is almost, the original structure is almost 150 years old. So it always needs upkeep. And the club has done a lot of work on it. And there's a later edition, late 20th century edition, where they do most of their meeting, which is down in the very lower part of it. But, yeah, it could use millions of dollars worth of work. And
it has to be done to preserve the integrity and
absolutely.
The story. You can't just...
Yeah, no, and I think you're absolutely right. The right thing to do would be for powerful women to come back to this place, which was one of the first places that women expressed and exercised their power, because these women were deciding what was going to be done back in the 20s and 30s and so forth, networking, and why not honor that? Another thing that's fascinating is that it served for a long time as a dorm for UT women.
Hmm.
Pretty far from campus to be a dorm, but...
I walked from 6th Street to campus many, many times. That's 3 blocks less.
Yeah. I think there's a certain type of person that can definitely sympathize with that. Me being one of them. I walked downtown.
You walk. We've talked about it on the show. You walked this whole city.
Well, and especially from West Campus to, you know, where the nightlife was definitely something that none of us shied away from.
Right.
But it's a fascinating building. It's a beautiful building. If you get a chance to tour it, tour it. If you have any connections who can, because here's the interesting thing. I mean, all these people that were the big families of the 1920s, some of them still have some money, you know, and it'd be nice if they got more deeply involved.
Yeah. Pass this episode on to some movers and shakers that are women. They might, you never know, or somebody's like, they want to get the, you know, really infuse some energy and money. It's not just the money, it's the energy, and
it's the energy
networking.
And it's the vision. It's especially the vision. Now this is something that's going to get me in trouble with the women's club. But they own the half block behind them that's down at the lower level, and they use it for a parking lot. That could be a lot of different things and still respect what's on the eastern side of the block.
You know, that you make a great point, because we're learning, Austinites are slow to adopt to this, but we're learning to live without parking.
Yeah.
You know, in the rideshare world, parking downtown is pointless anyway.
Yeah.
That might be, what's that dirt worth?
Or also, they could get, dedicated lots in the raised parking garage. But I think the right, smart developer that comes along, and I'm not saying anything that would clash with Bellevue, but that land is worth a lot of money.
Now the show has evolved to solving problems, right?
And also tax problems, because if they held on to the rights to the land, and they're a nonprofit, they don't have to pay any city taxes. And imagine what a developer would do with that.
Man, listen to you.
See, you know.
I'm impressed. I didn't know you were such a real estate mogul.
Everybody in Austin has to be a real estate.
You have to survive, savvy. Right? That story, if you want to read that, and the whole collection of stories is in Volume 2 of Indelible Austin. Pick up all 3 volumes. More coming. Volume 4 in the works. A great gift to anybody who you know would love to know more about Austin.
Indelible Austin.
And thank you for tuning in to Austin Found.
Happy trails.
Just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.